Grace and peace to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Our text today is the Old Testament reading, Jeremiah 1, the call of Jeremiah to be a prophet. Let us pray as we consider the Word of God today. Lord, you promise that whenever we gather around your Word, that your Word will accomplish what you desire. And we certainly see that in our gospel, the power of your Word to cast out demons, to heal the sick. And we certainly see that in the Old Testament reading. You gave your word to Jeremiah, gave him power. Bless us with your word now. May we hear it and believe it and be blessed by it in Jesus' name. Amen. Excuses, excuses, excuses. That could be the title of the Old Testament reading today. As I read, Jeremiah is called by God to be a prophet. Wow. God himself talks to Jeremiah. We don't know how this happened, but God doesn't often just directly talk to people, but here God talks. The word of God comes to Jeremiah. That's incredible. And then God Almighty gives Jeremiah some incredible reassurance and comfort and strength to equip him to be a prophet. God says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. That's pretty powerful. And before you were born, I consecrated you and appointed you a prophet to the nations. Powerful, powerful reassurance. Jeremiah, I had this planned out before you were ever born, that you be my man right now to preach the word of God to Jerusalem, which was very idolatrous. And what's Jeremiah's response? Does he say, here am I, send me, kind of like Isaiah did? No, not at all. Excuses, excuses, excuses. I said, ah, Lord God, behold, I do not know how to speak, for I am only a youth. Did you catch the three deadly words? I call these three deadly words that stop individuals from doing things for the Lord, that stop churches from doing things for the Lord, that stop groups and ministries from doing things for the Lord. Three deadly words that stop us, hinder us. And Jeremiah says them. The three words are, I am only. I am only. In Jeremiah's case, I'm only a youth. A better translation is a child, not even a youth. Three deadly words. Excuses, excuses, excuses. And what a lie, what an exaggeration. Jeremiah is not a child or a youth. He's not 13 years old here. He's probably at least 20 years old, if not 25 years old. We don't know for sure. He's not some little kid, though. And then he goes on to say, I don't know what to say. I don't know how to speak. What are you talking about? You're a grown man. You know how to talk. You're not some one-year-old that can't talk yet. Excuses. Three deadly words that would hinder him from doing anything for God. I'll just sit here and do nothing. And would hinder churches and individuals. We use the same words. As individual Christians that are baptized, washed like Isaiah, we have the Holy Spirit, we're the children of God, but we can still say, I'm only one person here in the big bad world, one person out of 7 billion, and I live here in Knoxville, Tennessee. It's already the Bible Belt. Most people already know about Jesus here. Maybe a few don't. Most do. What can I do? I'm only one person. And senior saints, some of you that are older may say, I'm too old to do anything now. I'm retired. I won't do anything. I'm too old now. That's your excuse. And young people, I'm too young. I can't do anything. I'm too young. And then there's the one that I hear a lot. I'm too busy. I can't do anything for the Lord in His kingdom. I'm just too busy making money and enjoying the Super Bowl today. I'm just too busy with stuff. I'm running around. I'm too busy. Can't do it. Excuses, excuses, excuses. When God wants His people to be the light of the world, His ambassadors, to proclaim His love to the ends of the earth. I'm not smart enough. I'm not talented enough. I'm not capable. I'm not educated. I can't do it. I am only, I am only, I am only. Three deadly words. And churches can hide behind this excuse. First Lutheran Church can hide behind this excuse. We're only one little church here in Knoxville. We're average size, and we're just average people. We got an average pastor from the north somewhere. We're just average common people. What can we do? We don't have that much land really here. We're kind of landlocked. We don't have much space. We don't have all that much money. We just got $1 million, but paid off a debt. But we say, oh, you know, we don't have that much money still, do we? What can we really do? And we got an old building. Coming to my office after church, and the ceiling's falling. John's going to fix it with the trustees, and cracks here, and the school's an old school building. What can we do? Our good times are behind us. What impact can we really have for God's kingdom here in Knoxville anymore? And we're a Lutheran church. And they don't, you know, and we're Missouri Synod Lutherans. They think that we belong in a zoo or something around here. What kind of creature are you, a Missouri Synod Lutheran? We're too conservative, too confessional, got liturgy in church. What could we possibly do for God's kingdom? Excuses, excuses, excuses. There are many things that hinder the ministry of a church and people. Heresy does that when you don't teach the truth. That's a problem. And apathy does that. Internal fighting does that. Gossiping does that. Just the love of things in the world does that to a church. We're too occupied with worldly things. But another thing that really, really hinders the work of the church is fear. I am only. We are only. I'm afraid. It's a big, bad world. God called Jeremiah to a big, bad city called Jerusalem that was idolatrous and evil. Go preach to them. We live in a big, bad world of evil and morality all around us, in our country and in the world. What can we do? Are we afraid? There's an old fable of a mouse that was afraid, and the mouse asked a wizard, I'm afraid of the cat. So the wizard made a mouse a cat. Then the cat said, I'm afraid of the dog. So the wizard made the cat a dog. And the dog said, I'm afraid of the tiger. So the wizard made the dog a tiger. And the tiger said, I'm afraid of man. He hunts me. So what did the wizard do? He made the tiger back into a mouse and said, you're a mouse forever. For only have the heart of a mouse. We're not mice. We are poor, miserable sinners in and of ourselves. But you heard the absolution. We are forgiven sinners. We are the children of God. We are a holy nation, a royal priesthood. We are the light of the world, the salt of the earth. We are saints in the eyes of God. We have the power of the Holy Spirit like Isaiah does. We are the very children of God Almighty. How great thou art! And he's made us great by his Spirit and by his power. And yet often we act like we're little mice. We really can't do anything. We're so afraid. What can I do? Notice how God deals with scared, little, mousy Jeremiah. Notice what God doesn't say to Jeremiah. God doesn't say, oh, you're right, Jeremiah. Oops, I picked the wrong guy. Sorry, I'll go to somebody else. You're right, you're a mouse. I'll go somewhere else. God didn't make mistakes. Nor does God say to Jeremiah, well, get back with me tomorrow. Think about it, ponder it. It's a job I want you to do to be my prophet. But you think about it. If it works out for you in your schedule and your life, then you come back and tell me and we'll be good. None of that nonsense with God. And God doesn't call upon Jeremiah to look within his own internal powers. Jeremiah, look in your heart and find your internal strength. Find your courage in there. Find yourself in there, Jeremiah. You have the capability. You have the talent. You have the strength in you. Come on, Jeremiah. Conjure all this up and you can do the job. God does not call upon him to look within himself and his own talents and abilities. He didn't really have any. But what does God do? God gives him three great promises to replace the three deadly words. And this is how God operates. The promises of his holy word that would cast out fear, cast out reluctance. Three promises. First of all, God says, I am with you, Jeremiah. I am with you. That should do it. If God is for us, who can be against us, right? I am with you. And these words recall the burning bush for Jeremiah. He would know the burning bush like we do. And there was another guy there at the burning bush who was very afraid and made excuses and said he couldn't talk. His name was Moses. Excuse after excuse. And then Moses goes around and asks God, well, what's your name? I don't even know your name. Who are you? And God said what? I am that I am. And so God says to Jeremiah, I am with you. The God of Moses is with you. The God who used poor, lousy, mousy Moses. I used him to deliver my people from Egypt. I used him, 10 plagues, the Red Sea, 40 years in the desert. I used Moses, as humble as he was, as mousy as he was. I used him. I can use you. Because it's by my power you do these things, not your own power. I can use anybody. I can use a young child like you, Jeremiah. You might recall how I used Joseph. He was a young boy sold into slavery. He wasn't afraid. I used him to save the whole world of starvation. I used a young boy called David. I used him to conquer Goliath and to reign over Israel. I used Jonathan, his friend. He was a young guy too. I used people even when they're young and they can't talk. I am with you. Don't be afraid. What I did through Moses, I can do through you if I choose. And a second promise, I am with you to deliver you. I will save you. I will rescue you is the meaning. This is even more. God is not with us to pat us on the back like a football coach today and hold our hand. You guys can do it. I can't go in there and play, but you guys can get in there. You can do it. Come on, I'll pat you on the back. Come on, you can do it. Here's your playbook. That's not God. God does it through us. God saves us and delivers us. I took our little dog, Teddy, that I mentioned last Sunday, this little 7-pound dog, poodleish dog, and took him to the vet to get a rabies shot. And I had him on our leash to control him. He's very friendly, holding him, petting him, had him on the leash. All of a sudden, into the veterinarian shop comes this monstrous 80-pound, 100-pound, husky-looking monster of a dog. And he wanted a piece of Teddy, bad. His owner's trying to pull him back. No, no, you can't go attack that little dog. No, 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 you can't have him for lunch. What did Teddy do? Teddy started shaking real, real bad, and it wasn't cold in there. He put his paws up on my leg. What was he saying? You're bigger than he is still by 200 pounds, buddy. Get in front of my way here. Save me. Rescue me. Come on, do something. What did I do to Teddy? Well, Teddy, fight the good fight here, buddy. Good luck. I picked up my dog, held my dog as shivering as he was, and turned my back and said, here, buddy, you know, you're not going to take down me. Rescued him, even though he wasn't going to get hurt, we know that. Our God doesn't just look at us and say, good luck down there, Jeremiah. I can't do anything with you, but good luck. God in Jesus comes and picks us up. It's holy baptism. He picked up little Isaiah, holds him in his arms. Father welcomes, you are now my child, you're mine. I am with you. At the cross, he saves us from our sin and death and the devil. In the resurrection, he delivers us, a God who acts and saves and rescues. This is what God does. He's conquered sin, death, and hell. What are we afraid of, folks? A few people out there that might persecute us? And then the third great thing God does in promise is he actually personally touches the mouth of Jeremiah. I love this. Very personal God who's right there for Jeremiah. That how great thou art, this great God is so personal. He touches the trembling mouth of Jeremiah, the scared little mousy guy. You now have my word. I am with you. I will save you and deliver you from all your foes. And now you have my very words in your mouth. What are you afraid of? This reminds me of Christian worship in a lot of ways. We gather today. God touches our ears with his holy word. Your sins are forgiven. You're my children. You're washed and cleansed. You're mine. And God does touch our mouths today. He does more. He puts something in our mouth. And that is the word made flesh named Jesus. And we get to eat his body and drink his blood. This is better than Jeremiah who just got his lips touched. We get to open our mouth and eat of the body and drink of the blood. And we are forgiven. We have Christ with us and in us and all his power with us and in us. What are we afraid of in the world? This is Christian worship, being touched, ears, mouth, and we leave with forgiveness and the power of the Holy Spirit to live as God's children. I learned a new phrase, a couple weeks ago. Catfishing, they call it now. You know what it means to catfish? This is what the Notre Dame linebacker, or the guy with Notre Dame's linebacker did. Catfishing is when you're on chatting on the internet, but you pretend to be somebody else. You hide your identity. You're like a catfish low in the water. I'm too scared to tell you who I really am. I think there's a lot of Christians that are catfishing. We gather on a Sunday morning. We're Christians. Praise be to God. Yeah, I'm a Christian. I love God. I'll confess the faith. I'll commune. I'm a Christian. We go out to our occupations in our world, though, and sometimes we hide who we are because we're scared. We're not catfish muddling in the mud. We are goldfish. The Spirit's given us the gold of faith, the gold of righteousness, the gold of God's love that's patient and kind, does not count our sins against us, the gold of the Holy Spirit. We are goldfish, so shine, goldfish. Be a light. Be an ambassador. Be the salt of the earth. Make an impact for God's kingdom. And whatever you do, whatever your calling is, make an impact for God's kingdom. God has a challenge. Go make disciples. Go tell the good news. Be the light of the world. Let us not say, I am only. Let us say, I am open. I am overjoyed. Here am I. Send me. Send me. Amen. We rise. May the peace of God, which transcends all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.